Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to Pure Hustle Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. We do have a request though before we get started. If you have found our content to be entertaining or helpful, would you consider leaving us a review on iTunes? Those 5-star reviews really help to make sure that our content gets out there and that our show continues to grow.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Rolando, and we're on episode 390. Gotta tell you, Mike catches me off guard sometimes. Like, I did not know where you get started. I'm trying to do some more research, and out of nowhere, podcast begins. You always gotta be ready when Mike's around. You gotta be ready. So
that's right.
We got a good episode here.
Just like when you're a reselling man, you always got to be ready because you never know when those deals are going to come. But anyways, thank you all for joining us on Pure Hustle Podcast. Just so you guys know, this is episode 390, and it is our back-to-back update episode. So if you're new to Pure Hustle Podcast, we tend to have an episode every single Wednesday. It's a long-form episode, tends to be about an hour long or so. And then on Mondays, we have a short live. We've been going live on YouTube. So if you're just listening on the podcast side, maybe you've been listening forever, maybe you're new to Pure Hustle Podcast, but if you like this content, make sure to come on over to YouTube, hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the bell notification, all the stuff that you're supposed to do, because you don't want to miss those lives on Monday because we have great episodes. In fact, this last Monday was a great episode. We talked about garage sales and garage sale negotiation, some of the most important things. And I have a feeling we'll probably talk about that today. Because we're getting into that season, right, Orlando?
Oh, finally. Finally. Now, it is still raining in San Diego. I don't know what's going on. I kind of feel like we're doing that cloud seeding that's happening like in Dubai. You ever seen those where like they seed the clouds for it to rain? Because I got to tell you, I've never seen this much rain in San Diego. And somehow it's aligned right when there's garage sales. And I'm not saying there's a conspiracy against garage sales, but it's just it's happening when it shouldn't happen. Now,
yeah, you could get all like hardcore conspiracy theorists about how the government's trying to stop us from being resellers,
being entrepreneurs.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like I don't know if you're allowed to say like one of those names, but you know, like the people who are famous on social media and stuff for being like the hardcore extremist conspiracy.
I wouldn't say their name.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we know who those people are. Wouldn't it be funny if there was like a reseller version of that? Like maybe that needs to be like a little.
It does shtick. Exist already. Have you not been does on it? YouTube? There are so many conspiracies on YouTube.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between just like a conspiracy and being like the guy that's like, you know, and maybe there is there. Maybe there's already, but like it'd be funny to be like, eBay is trying to stop us from making money. You know, like that would be, that'd be great.
Yeah, they're out there. All right. So what's going on with you, Mike?
Man, doing pretty good. I'm, still trying to do the estate sale thing a little bit here. And one of the things that kind of came out of our last episode that I thought was pretty fun was just a discussion that happened in the comments, right? Because I brought up the idea of going to a first day garage sale, going on like a Thursday or Friday, as opposed to when I typically go, which is Saturdays, which sometimes is the last day. A lot of times Sunday is the very last day. So Saturday might be that happy medium, but trying to figure out what is best. And I'm really big on like, you know, one experience isn't enough to formulate a decent opinion for most things. Now, I'm sure there are some instances where one experience is more than enough to formulate a solid, reasonable opinion. But for something like this, only going one week out of the year to first day garage sales may not have been enough data to determine whether or not that's a better or worse day. So that being said, we had a lot of great discussion in our comments or on the Discord, where people were trying to kind of figure out, again, which day is best or better or under what circumstances, because that answer tends to vary. And it seems like most people landed on towards the end of the week was better, you know, towards the end as the deals were coming. A handful of people kind of thought, you know, beginning. And then there was this like this blend between the two, which is you kind of have to do a mixture of both, right? Like go in the beginning to try and catch the stuff that they may have missed, right? Like the really good, like if you're going to get the big bulk buy of like a ton of stuff or things that like is going to go, like another reseller will find this. You just want to be the first one to it type of a thing. So you kind of have to go to a first day garage or estate sales in order to get that kind of deal. But you can kind of keep an eye out for the stuff that's maybe not profitable now, but when it goes to 50, 75% off, it's worth it. You can come back. Plus, you actually save time when you come back, right? When you go to a estate sale twice, you go on, let's say, Friday, and then you go again on Saturday or Sunday, you don't have to spend as much time Saturday or Sunday as you would if that was your first time there, because you already have the lay of the land. You already know what rooms have what things that you're looking for. Did they have books you were going to consider? Did they have tools? Did they have, so you can kind of quickly search, see, do they have the stuff you were looking for? Is it still there? And you're not having to dig through as much because you did that on the first day. And then you get the mix, the best of both worlds, where you're getting the undervalued items that they kind of missed pricing wise on that first day, and the stuff that's for sure going to be gone by the closeout sale days. And then you get the stuff that's, you know, it becomes profitable because you're able to purchase it at such a low price point when you go towards the end. So I think that's probably the right answer. That being said, that becomes a strategy that's really only practical for either one, full-time sellers, because if you've got a normal 9-to-5 job, you're going to struggle going to first days, or you might be a 9-to-5 normal job, part-time reseller, but your days off happen to be that maybe you're off Friday, Saturday, or you occasionally get Thursday, Friday off or something like that. So again, it's one of those things that it's beneficial. I think if I was a full-time reseller, I would for sure be going to first days way more often, simply because what else are you going to do? I think a first day estate sale is most likely going to be more profitable than a random thrift store shop visit. You know, now there are times when thrift stores can be very, very profitable. But you can do that any day, right? You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So unless like Friday happens to be the day with the crazy sale at the thrift store, also, what else are you going to do that day? What else are you going to do on a Thursday or a Friday? If there's estate sales, you might as well go. So we'll see this summer. I think I'm going to try and get a few more data points and go to a few more first day sales, and then following up with the last day sale. So that being said, I did a few more estate sales and garage sales. I think we are moving into garage sale season. I'm really excited about that. That season might be a little more narrow where I'm at here, because once the humidity and heat kicks in, it's brutal here. But the things that I've been picking up have kind of just been bread and butter recently. I haven't had any like home run pickups, but just a lot of things like books or even some like estate sales. One of the things you don't want to overlook is going to the bathroom section, because sometimes you find like, you know, shampoos, or like you find different things like stuff. That. Yeah, yeah. Like things that haven't been opened yet. Maybe it's discontinued, or maybe it's just like, I mean, I don't mean to, packs of whatever that haven't been used. Right. So like a pack of something that's, you know, bathroom type stuff. That's like, okay, this hasn't been opened. A lot of times there's profit in those things, and people aren't always looking around in the bathroom. So I've had a few, you know, profitable pickups on things like soaps and unopened bath toiletries, I guess is the terminology I should use there. So unopened toiletry type stuff, and like low, not medical equipment, but you know what I'm talking about, like medical supplies that are a little bit safer to sell. So yeah, I've just bread and butter things, $10, $20 here and there for items. And the other thing that I've been kind of ramping up recently has been buying books on eBay. So we've talked about eBay arbitrage. We've done lots of eBay arbitrage, especially as we moved into that COVID season. And we were kind of like, what do we do? How do we resell during this time? And do we go to thrift stores and none are open? And what about garage sales? And well, some are open, but they're like, you have to sign up for them. And so one of the things a lot of us did is we switched over to eBay arbitrage. And I think it's important to not lose that as a tool in our toolbox, simply because we can be back at garage sales and thrift stores. So I've been on personal hunt. I've kind of switched from collecting a lot of various things that I used to collect to pretty much what I collect now are books. Like I really have a passion for certain books that are just hard to find. And so when I'm keeping an eye out for those, I sometimes stumble across like, well, I already have a version of this that I like. I don't need a second one, but this will sell for a lot and it's undervalued. And so I'm learning a new niche as far as that goes. I've had some success able to pick up some books on auction or on buy it now with best offer, or even some. So strategy, one last thing before I stop talking here.
No, it's all good.
Strategy, if you're wanting to potentially get some good deals on eBay arbitrage, so you're trying to buy something on eBay and flip it, they don't always have best offer on a lot of items that I want to buy, especially like booksellers, for instance. If they don't have best offer available on the item or it's not an auction, don't be afraid to throw it in your cart, or don't be afraid to put it on your watch list and just sit for, you know, I'll do that with a bunch of different books.
People do that all the time. Yeah.
So I'll throw it into something. And then what happens is next thing you know, like a few hours later, I'm getting an offer. And now all of a sudden the value is a little bit closer to what I want. I can decide to counter offer. I can take the offer, you know, so like it opens up a line of potentially getting it cheaper. So don't be afraid to put something in your cart if it's not. Sometimes I think the mentality is, oh, they don't have best offer, so I'm just going to skip this item. If it's close enough, let's say they want 50 for it, and you're like, man, I'd pay 40 or maybe 35 for this, but I'm not going to pay 50 for it. Throw it in your cart. You never know. You might get an offer coming, or put it on your watch list, not necessarily your cart.
It happens all the time. I mean, I've even had it myself where I've been watching stuff. You know how it is. I'm trying to see how much things are going to sell for, and next thing I know, the offer has dropped within hours, or I get sent an offer. So, no, that's good. Now, speaking of eBay, sales have been brutal. But before I talk about the brutal sales, again, Mike and I have talked about, like, maybe now is the time to put your items in front of other eyes. And so for this episode, just like last week, we have partnered with Vendu. Vendu is a great cross-posting website. You can post on Poshmark, Facebook Marketplace, Grailed, Etsy, Depop, Shopify, other ones I haven't heard of. I mean, there's so much available, and it's very streamlined. If you already have an eBay store, it's very simple to import all your listings to that eBay store, or you can just create listings and then it'll send them out to all the other sites. It also has auto delist. When a thing sells on one platform, it'll remove them from the others, which sometimes back in the day, I remember in the early days, cross-posting, that wasn't available, so things got sketchy, but now it is available. It also will relist for you. And so Vendu is an amazing tool. Use our link below and put our code in PureHustle to try Vendu out. I'm telling you, at this time, I would say, you know, it is a time to use as many avenues as possible to sell, because right now, you know, eBay has lost a lot of its marketplace. And so there are eyes on other sites like Depop and Poshmark and even Shopify. I have even saw people like on TikTok using Shopify to post like vintage clothing, which I never thought of. I always think of retail arbitrage. And Vendu is one of the ways to do that. So use our link below and use our code PureHustle, all in caps, to sign up for Vendu.
That's right. I mean, you really want to get, you know, we talk about a lot the idea of having that unfair advantage, and cross-posting could be that unfair advantage for you. And Vendu is one of those things that's a tool to make it easier. You know, it eliminates the hassle. It eliminates all the barriers for you. It's worth its weight in gold. So yeah, definitely sign up and use the link in the description, and then code PureHustle. All right. What's going on with you, Orlando?
All right. So going back to eBay, it's been, I don't even know what to say. I don't know. You know, when people talk about they have that feeling that their store has been turned off, that's how I feel. I feel like somebody nefariously is in a room and sees how bad things are, and they just want to make it worse, and they're just shutting down my sales. Now, I know that's not the case, but that's what it feels like, because I am listing every day. I am shipping on time. I'm one of those people that, like, if I have items that sell at night, I will pack them that night, and the next morning I'll drop them off. And then as sales go throughout the day, as long as it's purchased before, let's say, 3 o'clock, I will drop them off at the post office for that day to ship out. So I'm doing everything. You know, I do free returns. I do promoted listings. So there's two things at play. Either one, I'm picking up trash, which I know is not the case, because when I look at comps and sell through, they both qualify. I think another aspect could be, maybe I have too many items in my store that are weighing down my store. That could be a possibility. And the other one is just, you know, people just aren't buying, right? This is where we're at. But, you know, everybody's experience is different. That's just where I'm at. But I want to belabor that point, because I've been saying this for over a year and it ebbs and flows. Whatnot Part 2 did happen. I've been consistent. My goal is to consistently sell on Whatnot every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So join me tomorrow for another Whatnot. This was not as much of a debacle as last time. It was kind of cool to have everything I needed. I actually bought one of those stands that you can like hang your item. So it looks pro. I actually I use one of my rolling hanger. I don't know what you call those, but those Z racks where you can pull out your clothing. I found out that I can consolidate a few of my Z racks. So I had one of those. I got the little cards that have numbers on them, so I could do random pulls during the whatnot. And yeah, it all worked out. The only sketchy thing was, and this can get really scary, but I haven't heard anybody message me, is I thought I ran an auction on a shirt and I didn't run it. And so I moved it to the side. I'm like, well, I guess, you know, this didn't run. And so my random pull numbers were off by one. And luckily I caught it early. So that means I had 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought 5 ran, but it didn't run. And so the next one ended up being 5. Does that make sense? And so if I had packaged them according to the number order, everybody after 4 or 5 would have received the wrong order and it would have been a mess. Now, thankful to all of you that were on the Whatnot Live and were patient with me. And, you know, people are so kind, man. I guess it kind of helps not to judge people all the time on our podcast, because I don't think we do. I don't think we go after anybody. And I think it pays back in our favor when we mess up. People aren't too hard on us. But it ended up working out. I appreciate it. I understand why people love Whatnot, especially if you're a seller, then you're just trying to sell stuff quick. Because, it went a lot faster. I Flip for More was actually on there, and he was just like, I'm just watching to learn. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you're seeing all the things I'm doing wrong so you can do it right. And so, you know, it was great, and I appreciate everybody there. And so I'll have another one tomorrow. And of course, we also have that Whatnot link to get that free $15 below and to join us. Now, another update is I've been going to the bins again, and I've been trying to go fairly consistent because I want to see if this is something that's doable on my end. The bins are just maybe like 10 minutes away from where I drop off my son to school. So I can always, you know, drop off my son and show up within minutes of it opening. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to be someplace I'll be frequenting. The reason being is their inventory is the same. So I'll give you an example. There's been like this Polar Express passenger car. And I usually pick up like those sets and I'll part them out. Well, this one was broken and so I didn't pick it up. That same one has been there for 3 weeks in the exact same bin. Okay. They have 6 bins for hard goods. And there's a lot of the same items that were there when it first opened. And I'm like, why is this still here? So what they do is they don't bring out new bins. What they do is they shuffle the bins around. And then when they bring out more items for hard goods, at least, it's not that they bring in a whole new bin. They come out with a cart. They come out there with a cart, and they just put the items in the bins, and that's all they do. It's not like I've seen on YouTube and other places where, like, you can go there in the morning, and you source the bins, and then you can go grab lunch and come later, and there's brand new bins. It's not like that, and I'm not sure why. It's the same thing with the clothing. The clothing, like, I only saw them change 2 bins in 2 hours. And then one day I thought, you know what, maybe it's just because, you know, I'm not there long enough. So I actually did the whole, I showed up in the morning, you know, I went home, I listed, you know, I hung out, whatever, I had some lunch. And then before I picked up my kid from school, I went to the bins again, same junk. And I was like, wow, like, this is bad. Now, on the positive end, everything I did source, I made great profit on. You know, I sourced a golf club for like, I don't know, 90 cents or something like that. It didn't weigh that much. And I sold it for like $32, right? I found, you know, some Red Wing shoes and I paid $4 for those. That's the other thing. Shoes, I don't know if they do them by the weight at your bins. Shoes, do they do it by the weight there? Do you know?
No, it's per item, per shoe.
Okay, per item. But it was like $4 per shoe.
Yeah, it's cheaper. I didn't know.
I know. I thought it was by the weight. So I sourced like 20 pairs of shoes. I had like Olokai, had everything, and I show up and they're like, oh, this will be four. And I'm like, I'm not paying $4 for these shoes. Like, I'll pay $2, but I'm not paying $4. And so I was like, I'm sorry, I'm going to pass on all of these. And I kept one pair. And so it's just, I'm not a bins guy. The clothing thing, you got to sort through a lot of junk. You know, it's not like when you go to a thrift store and you can just swipe all the hangers and you see name brands. Like the bins, you got to get down there. You got to unfold it. It's just, it's a lot of labor, man. I got to respect to the people that go to the bins. So will I go for another week? I'll probably go. Just, you know, maybe things will change, but I don't find a lot of hope. The only beauty of this one is it has free underground parking in the middle of downtown, and there's not a lot of people there. It literally is empty. It's probably at any one time, there's maybe 20 people there sourcing, which isn't a lot. But man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, the store that shall not be named doesn't like a lot of foot traffic in their bins. I don't know why they have such a poor model there at that place. Now, on the upside, garage sales, man, they this last weekend. So it rained on a Friday. And then I was like, should I go? Like, a lot of people don't go out, but I'm like, I need to go. I haven't gone in over a month and a half. And the times I've gone, it's been poor. And so the first one I go to, it's a garage sale that they have like yearly. And I remember from this garage sale because basically they somehow took over an estate of somebody who had passed away, and they have like 5 storage sheds of inventory that they're just trying to offload. So I show up, and the first thing I see is a bladeless Dyson fan. And I don't know if you know how much those go for. Here's a free bolo, but those go for over $100, even without the remote. And they had it for $20. I'm like, $20? Like, this is golden. And then next to it, I find one that's a heater, bladeless heater from Dyson. $20. I'm like, what is going on? Then I find, remember the ab circles during that era where everybody's buying exercise machines? Well, ab circles are still good money. Like, you can sell them for like $150. And they had one there for like $20. So anyways, the one thing that drew me to it was in the ad, they had a Dymo thermal twin label printer, which go for like $300. And when I showed up, they had it for $50. So anyways, I bunched up everything. I put it together, probably $1,000 of profit. And in the end, they're like, you know, how about 115? I got them down to 110. So for $110, my very first stop, and I'm like, all right, I got the dopamine hit again. Like, this is why I go to garage sales. But it did not end there. But we'll talk about the next haul, because in the random stories, because it was random. My next find that morning was a super random find, and I'll share that. But you got any random stories, Mike?
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember a while back, I created a couple like memes or like videos for our podcast on our social media that were like from Parks and Rec. They were like reselling. Like, you know, like I bought this at a garage sale, and you remember like that whole thing. It was really funny. But now it's funny because that those types of things show up everywhere. Like anytime you watch Toy Story 2, right? It's like, oh man, you kind of get the idea of like the resellers and all that. But it just reminds me how much reselling is in kind of the popular culture. In that it shows up in a lot of things that I never really realized until I became a reseller. So for instance, my wife and I years and years and years and years ago watched the show Raising Hope. Did you ever watch that show?
I did not. I don't know what that is.
It's a funny one. It's just another one of those kind of stupid, like meaningless, like not quite as high humor as like a Parks and Rec or an Office, as far as it's not quite as smart as that, but it's still pretty funny. And so anyways, we watched that show a long time ago, and we were bored one night, so we're just kind of flipping through. We don't have TV, but we have like an internet TV, you know, where you can like, you know, subscriptions.
You don't need to explain to anybody by now who actually watches TV.
Yeah, so well, I don't do it because, you know, I'm hipster. I don't watch TV because I'm just, you know, I did it before it was cool, you know, that's how hipster I am on that. But anyways, so we were just bored, and so like we wanted something stupid, you know, you just want to watch stupid shows. So we put on Raising Hope, and we'd been watching through a few episodes, and it was kind of one of their worst episodes. But there's an episode where it's Christmas time, and the parents, they go and they like go to this warehouse, and they're like, almost looks like they're doing a drug deal, and they're like giving this guy money to like buy these boxes of these toys. and then they're selling the toys to like families. And like the whole like running joke of the episode is like, as it gets closer to Christmas, the prices keep going up and the kid wants them to save one for the granddaughter. And they keep like trying to sell the toy. And so, and to see people's reaction, like, what, $300 for a toy? This thing was $40 in the store. But then they pay for it anyways. And it was just kind of like, we were cracking up because we get it, that whole reselling aspect of like, I mean, one, that's a useful thing to do around Christmas time, is to get those toys, and that we've definitely done that. But then,
like Dwight from like, The Office,
right? But then to see like the critique on it, where people like are upset about it, like a point trying to point out all the flaws in that, or like why it's wrong to do that, but then also acknowledging, but at the same time, like we're still going to pay because we want this item. So it was just kind of funny. I don't know if I would necessarily say that it was their best episode. But I think we've talked in the past on reselling about how it's becoming more mainstream. Like you used to tell people you're a reseller and it was like you were speaking a foreign language, and now it's like people get it. And so even just seeing like the seeds for that, because that show was back, like, I mean, that was like
2010,
10 years ago, you know? Yeah, 14 years ago. So to be that old and for like the seeds of like the reselling stuff to like be kind of entering mainstream, just seeing it there was kind of interesting, and kind of also like opening your eyes as far as, well, it makes sense that so many people understand what it is. One, because times have been hard and a lot of people have moved to it. It got really popular on social media, but also the groundwork for that had been laid, I feel like, in shows where the whole going to garage sales, buying things or selling things around Christmas time has kind of been a running gag or something that's been in pop culture for a long time.
Yeah. And I think social media has changed the whole reselling platform. Like if it wasn't for social media, I mean, think about it. Would we be on YouTube having this podcast? You know, like I think social media has definitely made reselling more trendy, or it's qualified it as a legitimate career path for individuals. When I say it out loud, career path, like I still feel weird saying that because I don't know if it's a career path, but I think it's definitely a way of living. If you want to make it your lifestyle, you can make reselling your lifestyle. So, all right. So let's get back to that morning. So I'm done. Okay, I'm done. I should have just made this a YouTube video, but I don't feel like doing all the edits. So that morning, I'm like, I could go home now, and I'm happy. Like I spent $110. I'm going to make over $1,000 and everything. I'm good. So then I'm driving around and, you know, I'm following my path. And by the way, if you haven't checked out, like Mike said, our live minisode, where we talk about garage sale best practices, one of them is plan ahead, right? And I always plan my route. Well, sometimes, you know, there's that little neon sign that has an arrow that says garage sale that you're like, where did this come from? Like this wasn't posted on Facebook Marketplace or anywhere. And so I got curious and the person did a really good job. You know, when the person actually puts the arrows and they actually make sense. You ever had it where there's like an arrow and you're driving for like 2 miles and you're like, what happened? Like, where does this garage sale go? So I kept following it and show up at this house. And usually when I go off the beaten trail, like it doesn't work for me. Usually it's just like there's a reason why I didn't post it, because it was just last minute and it's usually junk. So I'm looking around. And I hear somebody ask somebody, hey, do you have any video games? You know, there's always that one person looking for that one thing. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, I really don't. I don't have anything new. I have old video games. So my Orlando senses perked up and I was like, old video games? I'll take a look. And I just walked over there. Like I invited myself to the conversation. Now, I'll let the comments judge me here. So the guy comes out with like three bins. And the guy next to me that asked about them doesn't go after them. So I'm like, all right, bro. So I just took the top two, put them on the side. I'm like, hey, you can look at those over there and I'll look at these. Guy didn't challenge me. Guy didn't ask anything. Maybe I'm overpowering. I don't know what it was, but I was like, you could have taken these, man. So I'm looking through them and these are vintage PlayStation 1 games. And they're like Resident Evil. Nemesis, Resident Evil, Director's Cut. And those are worth like $80 to $100. Okay. Had a bunch of other like vintage games. And, you know, Nintendo's usually what people think about when they think of like, you know, valuable games. But PlayStation 1 is coming up. It doesn't sell as fast, but there's money in there. So I'm looking through these, and the other bin had old Xbox games. And Xbox games did not sell as well as PlayStation. So I'm like, okay, I'm glad I picked the right box. But the guy didn't even look at those. He called over somebody and said, hey, look at what they have over here. So I guess maybe that person wasn't as serious about, you know, what they're sourcing. So I'm looking through them. And I'm trying to see what's going on here. And I'm like, wow, like this is a score. This is something that, you know, you watch like on a YouTube video, like this doesn't happen. And I'm talking about probably 40 to 50 PlayStation 1 games, all with the cases, all with the manuals, and rare games are in there. So I asked the guy and I'm like, you know, well, so what are you looking at these games? In my head, I'm like, I'm willing to pay $100, but man, this guy, you know, he can ask for a lot. And he started going through them, and I noticed that he kind of knew the value. He's like, well, I know this game here is worth something. I know this game's worth something. And whenever that happens, my tip to people is to just right away go, you know, I want to just buy them all. What are you thinking? Like, you want to cut off their ability to actually analyze everything that's in there. And, you know, the people that don't want to, they're going to be like, well, hold on. I've had people tell me, hold on. I need to go through this. And I'll respect that. And I'm like, all right. So eventually he's like, how about 200? And I go, you know what? I was actually thinking like 120. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, 120 is fine. I'm like, what? Okay. So I bought him and I go to my car and I'm like, wow, what a morning. I'm like celebrating. I'm like, this is amazing. This is great. And so I'm like, all right. It's time to head home and it's time to celebrate. So then I end up in my car and I'm like, you know what? There were those Xbox games that were left behind. I wonder if I could just pick those up for cheap because they didn't pick up all the Xbox games. They left some of them there. And so I walk back and I'm like, you know what? Hey, how much are you looking for these Xbox games? And he's like, I don't know. You know, just look through them and let me know. And then I said, hey, by the way, do you have any more? Like, it seems to me like you have a bigger collection. He's like, you know what? I actually do have a bunch of PlayStation 2 games. Let me get those for you. So he goes upstairs and he grabs a bin. And they're probably like, I want to say on a conservative estimate, like 100 PlayStation 2 games. And he brings them down. I'm like, what is going on? I could have walked away from this. But something made me go back. You know, I'll attribute it to God, that God was watching out for me. So I asked him, like, you really, all these games, like, you want to offload them? He's like, yeah, some of these have sentimental value. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, hey, take out the games you don't want to sell, and then let's make a deal on these. And then he started going through them. I'm like, hey, these games mean a lot to you, right? And he's like, well, you know, they don't really mean that much to me. That's another tactic thing. He's always, you know, try to see if people are really serious about how much it means. And so he's like, you know what? I'll sell them all with the Xbox games. And then I was like, you know, how much? And he's like, 200. And I was like, I was thinking more like, you know, 160. And I'm like, well, how can we meet like at 150? He's like, deal. So that day I picked up, I want to say close to 300 video games for, let's see, 150 plus 120 for about $370. And these were good vintage games. Now, let's say
You said 150 and 120?
Yeah. Oh, that's sorry. Yeah, my bad.
That's even better. No, I'm just saying that's even better. That's
70. So even if I sold each of these, let's say $10 a piece, we're looking at, you know, $2,000 to $3,000, right? Is my math right?
Are all of them like $10 games? Because I feel like I've had a lot of PlayStation 1 or Xbox games that are like, they'll sell for maybe $4 or $5, not even worth my time.
Yeah, so I would say 25% of them are like those $10 games. And then the other 75% are like, I would say another 25% are 20 to 30. And I would say the other 50% are north of $30.
Really?
Yeah. So there now, that's a preliminary. I remember this just happened. So, and we're recording like within days of me sourcing. And so it was probably the score of the year so far. I mean, is the only good score I've had all year, but it's one of those things I always tell people, it never hurts to ask. Like, you know, you never know. And I don't know why the other group the other couple just kind of just didn't pursue it anymore. They kind of just left. And man, it's so I spent that morning in total, the 270 there plus the 110. And I picked up a few other things. I spent, you know, it wasn't too much. It was like a little bit under $400. And it's probably going to end up being a 3 to 4K deal when it's all done. So this is why I love garage sales. So I encourage people to get out there. I encourage people to ask. You just never know. And what I love about video games is that they're easy to list, easy to ship, right? So I'm probably not going to source for a few days just because I'll be occupied with that sourcing. So there you go. That is my random story. Now, if I want to keep tabs and all that, keep that profit, all that, one of the great tools you can use is My Reseller Genie. My Reseller Genie allows me to check on all my inventory, put how much I paid for things, and then when it sells, I'm able to tell my profit. Taxes are coming up here pretty soon. It is, you know, already March. It's approaching the end of March. And so if you're worried about doing your taxes and you're a brand new reseller, or you've been a reseller for years and you're kind of, you know, sad about GoDaddy bookkeeping going away, My Reseller Genie has been a great alternative. And you can get 15% off the first month by using our code PureHustle in the link below. And I got to tell you, I've only heard good things about My Reseller Genie. I use it all the time. I don't import my stuff like I should all the time, but that's the beauty of it. It can run in the background, right? And if I ever need an update, I just import and I'm back to, you know, present day stats. So it's it's beautiful.
And to like kind of reiterate what Orlando said is like, you have taxes coming up this season. So if you haven't already done your taxes this season, if you kind of wait until tax day, you know, you're pushing it off a little bit. It's not too late to utilize My Reseller Genie. I mean, you're going to have to put in a little bit of work, you know, this time around, but it's going to be less work than if you're trying to figure it out all on your own without a tool like My Reseller Genie. And then you're setting yourself up for next year. Like you go into next year's tax time. You by the time it's this time next year, you're just like set it and forget it. You go to your tax person, all of your ducks are already in a row, right? So you definitely want to get on this earlier than later. Now is the time. If you've missed it, if you haven't been keeping track, if you haven't been using something like My Reseller Genie, look, we don't give lots of tax advice on this or show. Any. I mean, we mentioned, you know, like important things you might want to consider and a little things here and there. But when it comes to like the right tool, like My Reseller Genie is the tool that you can use. You could take it to your CPA. You could take it to your tax person. You could fill out on your own. Like I do my taxes on my own on TurboTax, and I just put in my information, and having all of that information there is a game changer. So you want to get My Reseller Genie if you have not got it yet, and make sure to use our code. What is our code for My Reseller Genie, Orlando?
It is Pure Hustle.
Pure Hustle. Use the code. Mm-hmm. Get in there.
All right. Now we got some reseller topics, some important things to discuss.
All right. And are we doing the giveaway on this, or are we doing that on
the live? Yeah. You know what? Thank you for reminding me. We do have the giveaway. So I have that actually all set up to go. So in case you're wondering about our giveaway, so through April, we're giving away one free month of My Reseller Genie. And so we already gave away our January. Now we have to give away our February. And the only thing you have to do to enter is you just have to comment. That's all you have to do is comment on YouTube. So I got everything ready to go. I know Mike always loves it, how pro this is. So everything is ready to go here. And I'm just going to click on start and it's going to go through all the comments. And so it's going through all the comments. You can't really see it that well. Oh, it landed on somebody. Who is that? Harlan Reselling Adventure says, I love the art of negotiating. Yard sales can be some of the yard sales can't come soon enough. So Harlan Reselling Adventures 8758, you are the winner. You'll get a free month of My Reseller Genie for the month of February. And we still have March. You know, you can still enter. So comment on this video and you can get that free month. Harlan, please email us at purehustlepodcast@gmail.com and we'll give you the information you need to get that free month of My Reseller Genie.
That's right.
All right. We get to our topics.
Now we get to our topics. There we go. eBay consignment. Trader Joe's Oak Scam. All of this and more on Reseller News. Orlando, take it away.
All right. So I think this is a good thing. If you come across luxury brands and you don't want to deal with, you know, getting a Vero, or you don't want to send to the real real. So eBay has opened up their consignment. It used to be just handbags. So what this is kind of like the real real or like ThredUp, where you have these luxury items and you just send them out to eBay, and then eBay will sell them to you. And obviously they'll take their fees like always, and you'll get a fee, but you don't have to list it. You don't have to do anything. The beauty of it, they'll authenticate it for you too. So if you're worried about the authentication, right, it is authenticated by eBay. So let me read this. This is from eBay's seller news team. eBay Consignment, a service that makes it easier to sell your luxury goods, is expanding to a new category. We are pleased to announce that in addition to handbags, which is a category accepted at launch, the service expanded to enable the consignment of apparel pieces from 30-plus brands, including Dior, Fendi, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Off-White, Prada, and much more. So if you're considering selling apparel or luxury handbag, let eBay Consignment do the heavy lifting for you. And so they have a link to click on. If you're wondering how to get to this, just Google eBay seller community news, and then it'll take you to that site, that click that you can do there to get there. And I think it's a good thing, you know, because I will tell you, you know, sometimes with those luxury brands, it's kind of sketchy. Like, you pick them up and you list them on eBay, and then you go through authentication, you get, you know, denied. At least this way, you know, before you do all that heavy lifting of taking pictures and listing it, you just let eBay do all that. If they want to deny you, then I guess you deal with that there. But, you know, they take care of it. Obviously, you don't get as much money doing it that way. I think I'm going to send in, I have this, remember that storage unit we bought out from our friend Jake? We had that Gucci purse that, like, I sold and eBay wouldn't authenticate it, but I'm going to send it in and see what happens with the consignment. Will they reject me again? Maybe they're listening and they're already going to tell that guy that's in the room that's stifling my sales to reject my Gucci bag. So,
yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to give it a try, right?
Give it a try. All right. What do you think of Gen Z? Where do you think Gen Z is buying their items? Like, I'm talking about like their vintage goods.
I feel like a lot of them are, I don't know about a lot, but several are going to thrift stores. Still, there's still that push for that. I see a lot of Gen Z people even at the bins. I live in a college town, and so I see a lot of college kids there doing that. And it's not because they don't have the money. It's because they're trying to get vintage items at a good price. But, you know, I'm sure that online and local deals are still going to be probably the number one primary way that they're getting those goods.
So are you thinking like Depop? Are you thinking Whatnot? You probably already looked at the notes, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I said it at the start. I mean, I said Gen Z on Facebook. I mean, it makes sense that they would be on like Facebook Marketplace. I know a lot of people use Facebook Marketplace. In fact, with Gen Z, like, Gen Z doesn't use Facebook as their social media, right? They're using Instagram primarily. TikTok probably second to that. Snapchat is a separate kind of beast, as it were, but that's one of the resources they're using as well. But those are their social medias. I feel like older people are using Facebook as their social media, maybe Instagram, but younger people are using Facebook as a kind of like a Craigslist, right? Like, they use Facebook Marketplace. Like, Facebook, that's the reason they have Facebook, is they're using. And I think this is probably the older Gen Z. So, you know, Gen Z is kind of a wide, I mean, there's some of them who are already, you know, in that, you know, they're young adults now, and there's some that are still high schoolish. So, I think that that young adult level, it makes sense to me that they'd be on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. And so that's the case. So a new Boston-based, research found that Facebook Marketplace is the second most looked upon, place for them to source, second to eBay. See, I've always said, like, people give eBay a hard time. I think eBay is trying too hard to get Gen Z. Every eBay ad is somebody I cannot relate with at all. Nothing against them, but I would just never hang out with the people that are in those ads. Like, I'm waiting for eBay to start doing some blue collar, like, ads, you know, like the construction worker that comes home and he needs some Timberland Pros or needs a Carhartt jacket or something. or the guy that was out with his golf buddies and he saw a Scotty Cameron and he's like, you know what? I really want one of those. I'm going to go on eBay and search for those.
Where are you getting those ads at?
All on social media. When I'm streaming.
So you're tailored. So the ads that you're going to see on social media are going to be tailored to the demographic that's on social media, right? So you're not going to see the blue collar construction worker ads on social media as much because they don't frequent TikTok and they don't frequent Instagram reels at the same. No, for sure. They don't frequent at the same level that Gen Z does. So that's why eBay, like for instance, eBay Motor ads are going to be on TV, right? Because that demographic is watching TV. Okay. So I think they're targeting where their market is, right? Like the same thing, like if we were to pull up right now on YouTube, we'd be able to see like, okay, what's the average age of our audience? What's the average gender? What's the average like location of them? So we have those demographics. So, you know, they know too, they're like, who's on what platforms? What are we seeing? And so they're going to target that. So I wouldn't say they don't have those types of commercials, but if they're going to be on social media, and I wouldn't say they're trying too hard to get Gen Z in the fact.
Oh, I think they are.
But here's the thing, like right now you could say like, okay, Gen Z doesn't have the money, which is true, but Gen Z is the future. So if they don't have the millennials and Gen Z going to eBay, then as soon as boomers start dying out and the Gen X is starting to move into that position of like, they're starting to get positions of authority, potentially get more money, things like that. But if eBay doesn't pick up, then some other platform is going to replace them. It would be like an overnight, like as the generations like switch, then the company dies. So you kind of always have to be targeting that next younger market, right? Because if you don't have the kids, right? If you don't have the youth, you don't have a future.
No, I get that. I just think it's interesting, especially because the ads. Now, it did say, obviously, you know, the use of Facebook has gone down 71% for teenagers since like 2014, which makes sense. I would say TikTok is probably the biggest platform for Gen Z right now out of all of them. I think Instagram is still supreme, but TikTok has definitely grown a ton. And there's also Snapchat. Remember we had a Snapchat? I think we still do. We just never have logged in and we never used it because we didn't know what to do with it. But a lot of them are, yeah, like you said, they keep Facebook Marketplace just for sourcing. So what does this say? Well, maybe you use Vendu. Maybe you do a little bit of listing on Facebook Marketplace and see what's on there. I know there was a time when, you know, Facebook had said that they're going to take over reselling. They didn't say it, but they were going to offer you a storefront. They're going to do all this. And that kind of went away. But hey, if people are looking for stuff, well, why not, you know, do a little bit on Facebook Marketplace? So I thought it was interesting. Again, eBay is still king, but I thought that was still a good deal. All right. So this next one, did you hear about the Trader Joe's bags?
No, I haven't heard of
them. Okay. Do they have Trader Joe's in Texas?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there might be, definitely not in my area of Texas. Trader Joe's is very, very careful about where they put their stores. They do a lot of market research. I know that because the town that I used to live in used to live there too. There was a lot of push to try and get them in, and there was like a back and forth. And so I heard a lot of the discussions that happened with like the city council, and Trader Joe's is very, very careful. That being said, let's hear about these totes.
Okay, one last question. Do you have a Buc-ee's in Texas? Is that a Texas thing?
That is the Texas thing. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
There is no Buc-ee's without Texas. Okay, come on,
real quick. Let's go off track for a moment. What is the allure of Buc-ee's? I just want
to
know.
I can't even explain it to you. You got to come. Like Buc-ee's is the greatest. Like it is. It's an experience. It's a feel. Like you're there.
Is it like a Costco version of AMPM?
No. It's. You can't compare Buc-ee's to anything, right? Like Buc-ee's is Buc-ee's. It's amazing. It's a great place. You got to come, man. When you come out to Texas, I'll take you to Buc-ee's.
Hey,
I've given Buc-ee's as a bolo since I've been here. I didn't really even know about Buc-ee's. I started hearing it. Once you see the logo, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that thing. It's like, I don't want to say it's a cult because that has negative connotations, and I don't want to say anything negative about Buc-ee's. The level of Buc-ee's like pride, you know, that people have, like the love for Buc-ee's is intense. And so, yeah, that's definitely a bolo, certain Buc-ee things. I mean, some of it's all just mass produced stuff. But you know, for instance, there's a new Buc-ee's that's about to open up not too far from where I live. And I can, part of me is like, man, are they going to have like some kind of special like items that are only available like near the opening for this place? Like, or even if it's not only opening, because they it's like, you know how like Harley has like Harley and then like on it, it'll be like San Diego or Reno or Vegas or whatever, you know, they have Bucky stuff that's like that, where it's like Bucky's temple or Bucky's, and it's like the place where it's at. And so I'd imagine as this new one opens, I'm wondering if that might be a, you know, a bit of a bolo. Anyways, there you go.
All right. I was just, you know, just wondering. All right. So these Trader Joe bags. Okay. So there were these $2.99 canvas totes that got released by Trader Joe's. And if you go see them on social media, you know, it's a typical reseller scene. Like everybody shows up and they're, you know, clawing for them and they're fighting over these bags. And sure enough, the news gets wind of these and the news is like, these are selling for, you know, $1,000 on eBay. Now, what's your first thought when I tell you that?
If the news is saying that, that's what they're listed for. That's not what they're selling for sure.
Correct. So I did some research because I'm like, wow, I wonder how much they're selling for. Like, you know, maybe not $1,000. Maybe you could get like, you know, $100, maybe even $80. And I looked at the comps and the comps were like $20, maybe on a good day, $30. And I this is a warning to like new resellers. Whenever you see these news stories, you know, Black Diamond VHS selling for $1,000 or Beanie Babies for $1,000 or, you know, cornware or what is it? I don't know what it is. It's what is that? Like Tupperware, whatever it is. I don't know. Like all these different things that they're like, oh, it's selling for that much. Always go to the comps. Always go to comps because there is. There is a Trader Joe's bag that's sold for $1,000 on eBay.
That doesn't mean that there hasn't been a return or there hasn't been a cancellation, right? So,
or maybe it was just, you know, I'm pretty sure there could be some resellers that are saying, hey, you know, let's do this transaction that's not follow through, so we get comps that makes it look like they're selling for a lot, and then everybody will start listing it high, and maybe we get like, people to buy.
It's kind of like the pump and dump thing in some ways, and then also you have the just the like, think about Fingerlings, right? Like if it's resellers creating the craze, if it's a bunch of people, if all the resellers go out and get all these bags because they think it's worth a lot of money, and then people start hearing that these bags are really rare and hard to get, so then they go on eBay and they're like, well, I need one of those bags, and oh look, I found one that sells for on eBay for $40. You know, a lot of these are listed at $1,000. I'm gonna get this one for $40. And yeah, something that shouldn't be worth nowhere near that, you're able to actually sell for that kind of price. It's just a matter of who's going to be stuck with it all, right? It's like even like a lot of the cryptocurrencies we've talked about, you know, like there is actual intrinsic value in some of them. It's like very possible, like you might consider some of them having intrinsic value. Others, it's like it's like a joke, like literally, like here's a meme coin that's literally a joke. Let's see how long we can keep this joke going and keep the money going until like the joke is over, and then whoever's still holding on loses, right? It's like hot potato. But you know, so those types of things can be interesting. And honestly, like if there's scarcity, it doesn't matter what causes the scarcity. Is there scarcity because they didn't produce enough? Is there scarcity because a bunch of people bought them thinking they if there's scarcity and there's also some demand, it'll drive prices up.
Yeah, agreed. So I don't know. Just be careful because, you know, you can get caught up. I saw social media posts of people saying, wow, we picked these up and they're selling for this much. And yeah, that's not the case. Now, maybe I have the wrong search terms. Maybe I'm off, but I did not see people selling these for even over $100 a piece. So be aware of that. Okay, now, something you should look out for is some bolo. So let's get into our bolos here.
Yeah. Bolo. Bolo. Bolo.
Bolo. Bolo. Bolo. What's your bolo?
All right. Bolo is coffee grinders. We've talked about various like coffee pots and like the Starbucks, the barista one with a little cup thing, you know.
Oh yeah, the porta filter.
So there's definitely money in those. Now the other thing you can often overlook are coffee grinders. Now I would say at garage sales and thrift stores, 99% of the ones you're going to find are not going to be valuable. But because of that, they get overlooked. So if you know a few brands that can be valuable, you can tend to score. For instance, there is a brand called Encore Grinders. I think that it was like Barata. I don't know, something like that. I think they actually got sold and another company bought them in like 2020. But there's ones from like close to 10 years ago. So now they're starting to get old, like anywhere from like 8 to 10 years ago, some models that are still selling for like $100 plus on eBay. So you got to figure, if a person bought a grinder, a coffee grinder, even if they paid $150 for it 8 years ago, those are the types of things you could potentially find in a garage sale, right? Because if they got that kind of money for coffee, they've probably already bought a newer grinder, a newer coffee machine. And so that stuff makes it out into the garage sale, and they gladly take 10, 15 bucks for it, because it's like, yeah, I've used this thing, it's fine, whatever. So that's a good one. Another one that's actually worth a whole lot more, it's a little bit newer, but it's they're called Fellow Ode. It's kind of a very popular one right now. But again, the reason I bring it up is things like that. Like there's people who are, tech junkies. They're always wanting the newest tech. They're always wanting the newest iPhone, the newest this. And it's the same thing with things like coffee. The people who are in that field, if a new coffee pot machine, whatever comes out, they're often buying the new thing and getting rid of the old one. So you'd be surprised at how often you can find high quality ones. So once you learn a few brands, those two are some decent ones you could look at. Then you don't spend a lot of time looking. You're like, oh, Quizart, whatever. It's a waste. This one's good. It's an Encore grinder. So be on the lookout. Yep.
You know, I have sold some coffee grinders for great money, especially like the commercial ones. I can't remember the names, but yeah, definitely keep an eye. All right. So the other day I was at a thrift and I picked up, it was called like a Crop 2 expandable like tote or something. And it was like the square thing. And you literally like you lift it up and it like it turned into like 10 shelves. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Picked it up for 15 and I sold it for like $100-something. eBay glitched. I charged ground shipping, but it put USPS ground. And so the guy only paid $4 for shipping. But I had to list it so high. Sold it for good money. Well, anyways, if you ever get a chance to check out luggage, like a lot of people look over luggage, but if it's something that looks like sturdy or like it's made out of metal or something like that, it could be worth good money. So for example, you have brands like Halliburton, briefcases, those go for good money, like 100 or even more, depending on what they are. Pelican cases, people move stuff on those. There's Rimowa, R-I-M-O-W-A. That's like a trendy one lately. And those you can sell for like over $1,000, even used, if you find the right ones. There's also the famous Tumi that I've never come across in my entire life. But keep an eye, like luggage, you know, like, oh, I don't want to ship it. But the beauty about luggage is they're pretty sturdy. Like it's very hard to break luggage because that's what they're built for. They're built to go in airplanes and to travel across the country. And so when you ship them, yeah, you should bubble wrap. Yeah, you should put, you know, padding and everything to make sure it doesn't break or whatever. But it's not that tough to ship. It's not like a fragile glass item that you have to float the box. It's not that difficult. And there's a lot of good money. So keep an eye out for those luggage items. All right. Hey, before we move on, in case you're wondering where to follow us, we are Pure Hustle Podcast on all platforms except for X. On X, we are Pure Hustle Cast. If you ever want to give us a call, make sure to give us a call at, I'm going to say this slowly for everyone because people always say I say it too fast, 619-738-1170. Or you can shoot us an email at PureHustlePodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you haven't been following us on YouTube, come on over, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification so you're notified when we drop a live. And always, thank you to all of you that support us on iTunes. If you haven't yet, go on over, give us that 5-star review, tell people why you listen to the podcast, because it helps us a lot. All right, Mike, what are you looking forward to here?
Man, you know, just the usual, getting to some more garage sales, maybe a couple more estate sales, and hopefully finding that home run and not just a bunch of bread and butter stuff. What about you?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm excited about whatnot. I want to get to the place where like this is just an expected thing. I think the more I do this, the less time I'll take to prepare. This last time it took less. And so I'm anticipating the next time. Garage sales, I got to tell you, I'm excited. I can't wait till there's a community garage sale. We just haven't had one in a while. And, you know, I feel like I'm saying the same thing every time, but the floors finally were finished at my place from the flooding. Okay. We're end of March. So I'm looking forward to reorganizing everything and getting back into a place where things are back to normal. So yeah, definitely a lot going on. I'm looking forward to seeing how that haul of all the PlayStation games does, just because it, you know, it's been a long time since I had a major haul, and I love those quick sales and those quick pickups because it makes you want to get out there more. You're like, wow, what else can I find? So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So hopefully everyone here got something out of this podcast. I, you know, whether it be from our updates, whether it be from reseller topics, or at least even the bolos, there is something for everyone in these podcasts. And with that being said, make sure to be real,
be relevant,
and be reselling.
Peace.